my name is Ben Walker, and today I'm here to tell you about an event called Wonderful World that's taking place this Sunday at the Rise Home Campus, Lincoln. First, I'm joined by Hannah Pywell and Alexia Arnold to tell us more about the project. So guys, give us some more details about the event.
So the event itself is an immersive promenade performance which encompasses the nature of the Rise Home Campus alongside a series of musical performances. There's a group of us that are putting this event together, about 13 of us total. This is made up of a few teams, which are marketing, composition, tech, scriptwriters, set and visuals. But generally, we're a really collaborative group and there are a lot of overlaps in the teams. And then we're all involved in the performance and the delivery of the event.
Brilliant. So why did you choose Rise Home?
The performances are happening at Rise Home Campus in Lincoln, which is usually used for the Agricultural College, but we chose this location as this is a space the course hasn't previously utilised for musical performances, and the challenges of using a new location gave us a lot more scope for creativity and innovative performances, which differ from what we usually do, and we found that this really pushed us out of our comfort zones.
Nice.
So what would you say is the best thing about being a part of a project like this?
Yeah, so I'd say one of the best parts about the project is definitely the creative freedom that we have. So we've been really able to make this event our own, and as a team, putting together all our ideas that we'd never be able to do in a standard performance. And as well as this, just being able to perform as a year group is something that we really don't get to do very often. So performing alongside really talented musicians is something that's really rewarding as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's really nice working with people that you don't usually work with, especially when you're doing different modules. It's the only time we actually are all in a room together at the same time this semester. So it's nice being back with all of us, albeit only 13 of us. It's nice to have that many people. Mm-hmm. But I'd say for me, this project has allowed us to kind of explore the roles we take on in planning events and things, and each of us have been able to take on different leadership roles within working in the teams and as like leading meetings and making sure things get done, and it's stuff that we might not have previously had experience with. So it's quite nice to be able to like find where we sit within a team and try out different leadership things, and it's very nice to work together. So
yeah, fantastic. So what's the significance of Wonderful World? Why is the project named this?
When we were talking about the event and the theme and like our concept for it as such, we wanted, we're going with this idea of having a good and a bad. And we wanted to choose a song that could be arranged and could be flexible to fit different moods based on the storyline of our event. Mm-hmm. So one of the members of the team came up with this song and it worked really well, and we've had composers work on it and it's been really effective in reflecting those two sides that we wanted.
Yeah, portraying that kind of theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, I think the main reason we wanted the song is when we were brainstorming ideas before we even came up with a theme or a title or a logo or anything, mm-hmm. we wanted to be able to show different styles of music because there's so many of us and none of us perform in the same style. And we've not, like we said earlier, we've not necessarily worked together before, so we wanted to be able to show the different styles of music. And by coming up with this idea that we could have something that we could alter but we could use as a story was very important to us. So that's where the Wonderful World came from. So
brilliant. Yeah, that sounds amazing. Hopefully that clears things up for people listening. So during the creation of the event, did you guys run into any particular difficulties or challenges?
Working with that many people has created some challenges for us, but it is really good to work with them. It's just with all the creative mindsets, there's a lot of ideas that are being passed around all at once, and we can find it difficult to make decisions quickly, but we make them no matter how long it takes. But we've managed it pretty well and we've generally worked really well as a group.
Amazing. So for the people listening, what would you say to them to make them come to the event?
So the performance is going to be great entertainment. It's a completely different setting to the usual music venues. There's a group of really talented multi-instrumentalists covering most orchestral bases, and there's some vocalists as well. It's a public event and it'll be a great day out for all age groups, and it'd be really great to see lots of people there to support.
Well, you heard it there, folks. It sounds like a fantastic opportunity to get the family out, and it'd be great if we could give as much support to the Wonderful World team as possible. Thank you very much to Hannah and Alexia there for sharing their experience with working in the group and providing us with some details about the event. Up next, we have Kiel Markland to talk to you about his role as technician for the project. So Kiel, tell us about your involvement with Wonderful World.
Yeah, so for a big project like this, I think one nice thing that we've done is all come together and collaborated and brought our own ideas together. But as my main role is as a technician, so this means I'll be making sure everyone's got the equipment they need and also making sure everyone sounds great and the stage looks great for the audience.
Yeah, fantastic, that's great. So I'm curious, what kind of qualities do you think someone requires to fulfill this position?
Oh, I'd say you definitely need to be organized. There's a lot of things that you need to think about, and a lot of people that are counting on you. And time management's definitely a good one as well.
Yeah, 100%, that's great. So it seems like as a technician, you'll have a lot of responsibility on the day of the performance. Do you think you could talk to us about what you've been doing leading up to the day of the performance?
Yeah, so there's a lot to do on the day, but before the performance, everyone has their rehearsals, and the rehearsals also need to be teched up. So we need to make sure everyone's mic'd and all the instruments are plugged in, mm-hmm. and making sure everyone's sounding great just for our own sakes in the rehearsals.
Yeah.
But also we have to, one big thing we've been doing is getting together a list of all the equipment we need, mm-hmm. all different mics and cables and stuff, and also the lighting and what kind of lights we want. So we have to talk with the other people in the group, the more creative manager roles, to make sure we're getting their idea put out onto the stage.
Yeah, no, fantastic. There's a lot to do then. So obviously we're holding this event at Rise Home. What do you think about this as a venue? Do you think it's a reasonable place for the tech that you're providing and the setup?
Yeah, I think the Octagon Room, as we've called it, I think is a great space for technicians. Many plugs about, so we can plug in anything we need.
Yeah.
Big space, so we can get all the speakers and equipment in we need. But the struggle it would be is all the outside space that we've got. So there's not, you don't really find many plugs in the wild. And
yeah, that's a good point.
We've got to sort that one out. But a lot of that comes down to just making sure we've got the right equipment in the right places. And
yeah, I assume we'll be using some like acoustic instruments then in the areas outside.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of acoustic, but then also portable keyboards and
speakers,
stuff like that.
Yeah, brilliant, okay. Is there any other challenges that you think you've faced working with such a big group, working with the tech, the equipment, just in a project of this size?
Yeah, I think working in a project of this size with many people counting on you is always a bit of a dread. You've always got a
big responsibility on you.
Big responsibility, yeah. You've got to make sure that you're always there, and they're like, and anyone can come up to you for this equipment, but once everyone comes out with your problems, that's where it starts to become quite a challenge.
Yeah, of course. I think like with all live performances, there's the risk of technical difficulties. So how important to you is it that we provide a successful performance, like a smooth sailing experience with no technical difficulties?
Well, firstly, I'd say there's never really a smooth sailing performance. With my experiences of performances, pretty much something always goes wrong. So fingers crossed it's not for the tech team.
Yeah.
But I'd say the main way to combat that is just be prepared for anything that can go wrong and making sure we have an alternative just in case.
Well, there we go. Thank you very much to Kiel for that interesting insight into the wonderful world of all things tech. As he said, fingers crossed all goes to plan on the day. Next, I'm joined by Ryan Emerson, who will run you through the marketing side of Wonderful World. So Ryan, talk to us about your contribution towards the project.
I'm part of, as you mentioned, the marketing team for our project Wonderful World.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of stemmed from me wanting to kind of help get everything out there. And, you know, marketing is not just about kind of promoting things, but it's to do with the market research and kind of figuring out who we're aiming to and how, more importantly, we get, you know, our our project to the relevant people and how we get them there.
Yeah, fantastic. So could you talk a bit about some of the ways which you've promoted the event?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the ways in which we did this was social media. Mm-hmm. It's a very versatile resource in that, you know, it's free and it's the best way in which to get media across to people.
Yeah,
because
of course.
It's, you know, a part of our everyday lives now. You know, everyone's always holding a phone.
Yeah.
So it's very accessible. We also decided that posters were a great idea.
Yeah.
Mainly for the locals, you know, around kind of our university and in and around Lincoln itself.
Yeah. So yeah, we've had a couple of people on the marketing team, and they've created this fantastic poster, which has some artwork on there of the Wonderful World kind of logo and the theme, which portrays the good side and the bad side of the world. And I think both you and the other person in the marketing team has done a fantastic job at that.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think that when creating kind of the logo and the poster, we put, you know, we really wanted to reflect this kind of segregation that our entire project is kind of founded upon. You know, going from this kind of harmonious, like beautiful kind of sustainability viewpoint to
the
potentially
opposite.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of this deteriorating, broken, and that kind of side of things.
Which I think is a really special and very creative theme, and using music to demonstrate that is quite special. So, as someone leading the marketing side, in your opinion, what would be the best qualities that somebody can have to make sure that the project is a success?
I think it's really important to have kind of an eye for creativity. And that sounds quite generic, but when trying to reach out to our audiences and creating all of this material that needs to be appealing and, you know, to that demographic, I think it's important to be able to know what looks good and what's going to be eye-catching, and kind of reading all of these current social trends as well, you know, kind of what's popular at the minute in the real world, because, you know, if you don't really know what's going on, then how do you expect to kind of capture that demographic's attention?
Yeah, of course.
I also think that consistency is important. You know, I think rather than just kind of posting whenever, for example, on social media, it's good to have a plan of what's going to be posted when. I think it's important that the stuff that is posted is kind of revised and corely reflects this, you know, the project as a whole and the message that we're trying to get across through that.
Just to add to that, I think first of all, you've absolutely done that with the poster and the logo and everything. It looks fantastic. But with the social media, you've captured a sense of everything about the project without giving too much away. So there's behind the scenes of the rehearsals, you've got a meet the team section. So yeah, fantastic job.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Where can people find us?
So we're on Instagram and Facebook. Our Instagram is wonderful.world.lincoln, and our Facebook is wonderfulworld with a question mark. And we hope to see you on the 21st of May at 11:30 a.m. or 2 p.m. at the Rise Home Campus, Lincoln.
A very interesting chat there with Ryan. I definitely recommend taking a look at the Instagram and Facebook pages and checking out the event's artwork. Thank you very much to him for discussing the creative strategies they employed to promote the event and get the name out there, but also for reminding us that there are two performances on the Sunday, one at 11:30 a.m. and one at 2 p.m. Finally, to round off the show, I'll be chatting with Jono Taylor, who's played a leading role in composing the music for the Wonderful World event. So Jono, tell us about you as a composer.
So I've been a composer for quite a long time. It was during my days at school, specifically towards the end, I started doing composition at home just because I didn't really like Sibelius and how it sounded. So I picked up a few audio workstations like Ableton and Cubase, and I've been messing around with that since. And, you know, over this time, I've learned a lot about how to use them and about digital samples and along the way about musical theory. But I feel like for me, the computer side of things came first.
Yeah, brilliant. So what was the reason that you wanted to be a part of the compositional side of this project?
I love it, firstly.
Yeah.
There are a lot of different roles that need to be filled, of course, and among them, we're a music group. Some of the music we'll be performing will be original. I thought, I can do that because I'll have a lot of fun, and within my skill set, it's probably what I'm best at. So I looked at this and thought, I could do a mean job with this. We are doing a new arrangement of Wonderful World with the same chords, different chords, the same melody in words.
Yeah.
And it's got a totally different feeling. And it was just a lot of fun to make, and this is what I had in mind.
Yeah, I've discussed on this topic with some of the other people we've interviewed. So the Wonderful World project is about portraying two different sides of the world. So, yeah, what would you say is your favourite part about composition, and was this fulfilled in this project?
This is a slightly weird one. So a lot of composers will start with a hook or a melody and some chords, but I always grew up on cinematic, orchestral, ambient music. If you think of big RPG games like Skyrim with composers like Jeremy Soule,
mm-hmm.
or Thomas Newman, who did the WALL-E soundtrack, that kind of music always meant by far the most to me. So I don't think of it in terms of melody and chords and words at all, but it's more like sound world, texture and harmonic movement.
Mm-hmm.
So when I listen to classical music, I think that some of it tickles my fancy, mm-hmm. but quite a lot of it doesn't. And I think up until somewhere in the 20th century, the further you go, the better it gets.
Yeah.
So you get to Debussy, and you get to people like Stravinsky, and there are these incredibly creative, original, and very dense compositions with impressions they give and narratives, and it just means a lot more than sonata number 150,000 in C flat minor.
When you were writing the arrangement of Wonderful World, the bad version, which obviously people who are listening have not yet heard, did you have any inspirations of the composers that you've just named?
Oh, that's a very good question. There are a lot of different answers I could give here. So I mentioned Stravinsky, but Rite of Spring in particular, parts of it were very dissonant and parts weren't. But I think the best answer I can give is it's a kind of somewhat but not entirely dissonant exemplified version of jazz piano chords.
Interesting.
So recently I've really taken to jazz,
mm-hmm.
composers like Jacob Collier,
yeah.
and Snarky Puppy.
Ooh.
Yeah, less jazz standards,
mm-hmm.
and more
about a fusion of different genres and instrumentation.
Exactly, brilliant.
Yeah.
So I think mainly, let's say Jacob Collier,
mm-hmm.
I've listened to a ton of his music. He's a genius. And this applies to a lot of my composition and is exemplified in the Bad Wonderful World arrangement and
nice.
Its chords, which is, I think the main focus was just reharmonizing it.
Mm.
So if you look at some of Collier's work, some of his piano solos, some of the slower piano pieces, mostly his piano work,
mm-hmm.
I think there's a huge amount to unpack in terms of the chord and harmony work.
Fantastic. That's really interesting. Did you face any challenges when composing?
Yes. So firstly, like I said, I mostly compose on a computer for soundscapes and such. You know, I'll whip out my East-West MIDI strings. This is not sponsored. And I'll stick a cello line on this or that, and it'll be an insanely hard cello line. And I'm a novice cellist myself, and I won't be able to play anything that hard. So my main challenge is, one, playable. Now, some of the instrumentalists in my year group are very skilled,
mm.
but when it comes to me playing the cello, not so much. Although I'm playing the piano in this one.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is, it's, for me, it always been about add a layer, add a layer, add a layer, mix it and produce it and make a cool sound. And it's never been about create an arrangement for people to play live. So learning to do that's been a very different process for me.
Okay, yeah. So of the other pieces that you've put together for this project, which do you hope that people most enjoy?
There's this one for when we are walking out of the Octagon Room. So long as it's not raining, which we are praying it does not, we'll be doing a little tour. And for part of this, we'll be walking with a bit of ambient music. I wrote a little while ago, and it's called Glass Mirage. It doesn't really mean anything, but it's supposed to be cute and ambient. And it's got some really interesting textures and string movement, and things cut out here and there.
Yeah.
And it's got a slightly ambient, but very melodic and beautiful feel, and slightly mournful as well. And I think if people are paying any attention to it instead of the narrative going on, I hope they really enjoy it.
Yeah, I think it'd be really fitting for the one, Rise Home, the venue that we're playing at, and two, the theme of the beginning of the tour. So you've touched on this a little while ago, but how different was the compositional process for the Wonderful World project to your own compositions?
So this one involved a lot of going home on my laptop and booting up Sibelius.
Yeah.
So I started off playing a little MIDI keyboard into Cubase, which is how I normally work, to set the groundwork down, do the chords. It's got chromatic descent, it's in the relative minor of the original key, it's got half diminished seven chords. You gotta listen to it.
Nice, lovely.
But later on, when I was actually arranging it, I moved this all into Sibelius, which is my notation software, and started adding the parts in. And I thought, I want this slightly big band, but slightly more modern jazz feel. So I basically started by focusing on trumpet and saxophone, which we're fortunate to have players for both in our year group.
Yeah, of course.
And they just constantly do this similar movement in thirds or sixths throughout, and then the violin's playing something different. There are lots of triplets going on. But it was mostly this time, most of the time went into writing out the individual instruments parts. You do one part for the whole track instead of bit by bit. I found that was interesting for me because I'm used to working in layers, like I mentioned.
Yeah. Do you have any particular instruments you enjoy writing for?
Oh, such a good question.
Obviously, you're a pianist yourself and you're also a cellist.
I love playing piano more than I love playing cello because I feel like you can do a lot with a cello, but you can do so much with piano. And, you know, you just press the key and it does what you want.
Yeah.
I think part of this is fueled by the fact that I'm not as good anywhere near at cello. But when I'm writing on Cubase, messing around with some nice sample sounds with lots of reverb, I think any instrument can sound really beautiful if you press and hold down a long note and then get a mod wheel on your keyboard, which basically controls how hard the theoretical player behind the virtual instrument is playing.
Yeah.
So you move it up on a clarinet and it goes and you move it back down again. And any instrument can be really fun in this essence, but if you do want a solid answer, I'll go the easy route and say piano, because that's pretty fundamental in most of my work.
Yeah, no, understandable. Obviously, with the instruments that we've got in this whole project, there's quite a variety, from myself as a drummer, to guitar players, to all the orchestral stuff. So I bet it's been a real challenge to write music that's fitting for all of those instruments.
Well, I'd say that, but thus far, I've basically just, I've left you to do your own thing with the drums.
I guess, yeah, we've all had our own kind of creative input, which this whole project has been a large collaboration, so.
Yeah, I'm a composer, but everyone in the room is a musician. So you give them an instrument and a part, and they'll play the part, and they'll think, oh, I want to do this. And you just think, okay, well, that sounds really good, because you play the instrument, you know? I've heard a B played, but I've never played it.
Of course, yeah. Which is something Hannah, one of our project managers, kind of touched on earlier in the episode. And she said that one of the best things about this project is the creative freedom.
Yeah.
Which you'd probably agree.
Yeah, very much so. So as a composer, I felt that. And then as somebody somewhat behind the narrative, we've got a narrative group writing up what happens. It's been wonderful. It's not just about making the narrative what you want, it's how much of a narrative there even is.
Of course.
So earlier on, we've had shows about history and time travel and museums. And this time, it's about the end of the world.
Well, there we go. That's all from the Wonderful World team. Thank you very much to Hannah, Alexia, Kiel, Ryan and Jono there for their inputs on the Wonderful World project. Just to clarify, the event will take place this Sunday with two performances, one at 11:30 a.m. and one at 2 p.m. at Rise Home. Tickets are free and you can find them on our Instagram or Facebook pages, wonderfulworld? Or wonderful.world.lincoln. We really hope to see as many of you there as possible. It will be a fantastic day. I've been Ben Walker. Thank you very much.